Welcome to the Elevate Your Brand podcast, where we help online coaches learn how to elevate their brand, become the experts in their industries so they can bring in more clients and create a life they want. I am your host, Chris Anderson. And if you want to make a difference in the lives of others, share this episode, go over to Apple Podcasts and follow us there to leave a positive rating and review. And together we can leave a bigger positive mark on the world. All right, welcome back to another recording of Elevate Your Brand. I'm Chris Anderson, your host, and excited for today's guest. You guys might know who she is if you're into sports, especially track and field, like I am. Today we have Shari Hawkins on the show today. Just going to dive into her journey, overcoming mental battles, physical battles, and really hurdling all those obstacles along her way to where she is today. So Shari, welcome to Elevate Your Brand.
Thank you. Thank you so much. How are you? You're in Indiana.
Yeah. Doing well. Sun shining. So we can't complain when that happens here. So
how long do you guys get like a full fall season, or how long does that usually last?
Yeah, it depends. We put bets on that. Do we have a week of fall weather before it's winter, or are we going to get a little extended time? Hopefully a little bit extended, but we never know here, unfortunately.
I'm from Idaho, and I swear to you, it's just the most beautiful fall, and everybody's like, yay, fall. And then all of a sudden you wake up and there's a blanket of snow and you're like, yeah.
I know. It's like fall and spring are, of course, like my favorite seasons, and fall especially, but it's like, it's so short here. It feels like I'm getting shorter and shorter. Mm-hmm. So hopefully we'll have a little bit extended time. My friend, one of my really close friends is from Idaho. So he talks about just going back there and the beauty and everything. And just
and he's in Indiana?
Yeah, he moved up here. We went to college together.
Like that difference with no mountains.
Yeah, he misses. He talks about going back quite a bit because of that, because it's so flat here and everything. But I tell him, I said, next time you go out there, I need to go with you and just see what it's all about in person. Yes. So growing up in Idaho, you're in San Diego now. How have you moved any other places in between?
Yeah, there, so I mean, my journey, it's not like too elaborate, but pretty much. So I was born and raised in Idaho and then went to school at Utah State in Logan, Utah. Pretty similar, really cold in the winter, miserable, but really beautiful in the summer and the fall. So vibes. And then moved from Utah to Santa Barbara, California, trained professionally there for 2 years. Then I moved overseas and went to school, got my master's degree in education at the University of Bath, and did track while I was there as well. And then now am currently training in San Diego, California. So
that's awesome.
Been a little bit of back and forth, but yeah. Not crazy.
How'd you like doing your master's out of the US?
Oh my gosh, it was amazing.
Yeah.
It was a 1 year program to get your master's degree. You can't really knock that. And then no. I love England so much. It was so amazing. A lot of people always say that they hate the food there. I loved the food
really?
There. It was amazing. Yeah, it was really cool. Yeah. And honestly, I'll be completely upfront. I ran to England. I ran away to England because I was escaping my own anxiety and my own stress and all that kind of stuff. But it was huge for me because I got a lot better with track. I felt like I did need like a little bit of a new environment. And it was really cool too. I got to go train with college athletes again. And I felt like they gave me like new, fresh energy, just like wide-eyed, that kind of thing. They were just like, yay, let's go work out. And I was like, yeah. So it was really cool to be able to go away. And it was the off year. So there was no like world championship year or anything. So it was kind of like the perfect like situation for me. Yeah. And I think honestly, had I not gone to England, I probably wouldn't have continued training.
Wow.
I probably would have. It was getting like really bad. My anxiety. I had basically told myself that if I win, like you're a good person, congratulations. Mm. And if you, or not even win, because in the heptathlon, I didn't really focus on winning, but if you didn't like do really well and get like a personal best in at least like 3 of the 7 events, congratulations, you're a terrible person now. And if you did really good, like you're great. But if not, like, nah, it was just causing a lot of havoc in my mental state. Obviously that makes a lot of sense for a lot of people. Yeah, of course that would be stressful. Yeah,
that identity tied to the results instead of you as a person, right?
Yes, exactly. And I think that's pretty common in sport. But if you really think about that, like who would want to compete if the thing that was up for grabs was your value. No, it wasn't a trophy. It was right. Your value as a human. That's what you were competing for. And it was just really rough. So moving to England was really nice for me just to get like a fresh start. I came back, didn't help. But then I had to go and do a lot of mental work myself. And that's really when all of the magic really started to happen.
Yeah. And I think that's like a change of environment is so beneficial, I think. And people don't necessarily give it enough credit. Like when you're around the same people all the time, the same location, the same environment over and over, and it's not helping you improve, sometimes we got to take those steps and that leap of faith to try something different and get something different, a different perspective for that really kind of the stepping point for healing. And I think that's cool that you were able to do that. I know my wife went to London for a study abroad for a month. She loved it. She liked the food too.
Oh, I loved it. Yeah. No, it was awesome. And the thing is like going to what you said, cause I really liked it. It is true. It can be so refreshing to have a change of environment, change of location, and just going away and getting a little bit upset. But I also want to reiterate, I learned this the hard way, is that it doesn't get you to stop doing the work. And I think a lot of us don't want to do the work. Yep. Can I move, please? Right. You know what I mean? And it turns out, yes, it's very helpful to like get a new environment, have a little bit of a clean slate. But at the end of the day, like that work still needs to be done.
Yeah, 100%. And before I started Elevate, I used to be an athletic trainer. Okay. And so that was a lot of things that I saw going into it is we have all these physical problems, but we're the athletes a lot of times are just putting Band-Aids on it. Just, hey, let's just get by. Let's not fix the issues. And then being able to talk to these high school and then college age kids about what's going on and seeing like there is so much mental healing that needs to happen or growth. And again, just Band-Aids being put on it. And like you said, you've got to take the action and do the work to start having that growth. And when I was in college, we hosted the NAIA national track event there. And it was the best time ever. Just seeing all these athletes from around the world that are in college competing and just at that level. And with that being said, there is a lot more, they put a lot more weight on their shoulders at that level competing. So it increases what's already there. So if you have a lot of that mental strain or unhealed places in your mindset, it just exasperates it.
Yeah.
With that, what actions did you, coming back from the UK, what actions or steps did you take to start really making those situations in your mind known and then healing them?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing was I had to be aware that it was still an issue, right? And I got taught that it was an issue the hard way. Indoor nationals in 2019 indoor nationals, there was a lot more pressure than I think people realize on me because of the circumstance that I was in at the time. And so I got there and I was just stressed. I was so stressed. I couldn't even believe it. And my body completely seized up on me. I pulled like my hamstring and I am like hypermobile. I'm like a hypermobile person. I do not have issues with pulled hamstrings. Like never have. It was just, I was stressed myself out so much. I completely injured myself. And I remember my parents were there, we were in New York, and I was like, I'm not doing this again. And I think they were like, you're done? What are you talking about? And I was like, I got to go to work. So my biggest thing was just, I started asking questions to everybody. Hey, have you ever had anxiety? Hey, have you ever had anxiety? Hey, I don't know, you don't know me, but have you ever had anxiety? What causes it? And finally, I got my answer after asking a lot of questions. Basically, somebody was talking about how it was just at the forefront of my mind. And somebody was talking about how there was a person who I was like, yeah, this person like never really has anxiety. And they're like, yeah, they don't like they just don't see how important their meat is. They just are like, oh, it's just a meat. And like, it was just really interesting because I was like, what do you mean? They don't see how important it is. Like it is just a meat, like in my mind. And I was thinking like, oh wait, I'm legitimately putting my value as a person on my performance. And I just didn't know that before. You know, like, you think about that, you think, oh, like now, but like, I never really thought about like, the fact, like I'm genuinely putting my value as a human being on this, it like is riding on this performance. And I just made this conscious effort to say at this next competition, no matter what, I'm gonna just have fun. And it was like the biggest, at that point, it was the biggest competition of my life. So it was in Gotzis, Austria, and my like idols were all there. And so I was like, oh my goodness, it was my first like big meet where I was like competing all of these like elite women. Yeah. And Gotzis is also like really big for the heptathlon. So there's like thousands of people there. So it was a huge deal, but I promised myself, you are working on something right now. Like no matter what happens, you will just have fun. You are not going to be upset. You are not going to worry because it doesn't matter. You're just going to focus like practice. So what happened is I got my first bar in high jump and then I missed my next bar and I hadn't jumped that low since high school. So there was part of me that wanted to be like, oh, but then I was like, Thomas.
Those tests, it's funny, those tests happen and when we're really trying to grow and get better, we always get thrown those tests. Are you really going to do that? Are you really going to stick with your growth plan? Yeah, or?
Exactly. So they were like, you promised. And so I was like, so I shrugged my shoulders and I started laughing and I went over to my parents who came all the way from Idaho to Austria and I gave them a hug and I was like, that was embarrassing. And like I said, there was like a huge crowd of people and they all just started laughing. Right. And the thing is, this is my first like big meet. And so this was my opportunity to make a name for myself. Like none of these girls had ever seen me compete. Like I wanted the like reaction to be positive. I didn't want them to be like, oh, okay, so she's a terrible high jumper. You know what I mean? And so I went over there and I had a friend there and I went over, I was like, well, that'll get you. That's not what we are usually looking for during high jump, but I guess that's that. Afterwards, KJT came up to me, who is my wonderful friend now. She's so wonderful. But like back then she was just actually funny side story. Before the competition started, I went to go up to her to introduce myself and be like, I'm really excited to compete against you. I just want to introduce myself. My name is Shari. And I went up to there and you know what I said? I went, I love you. And that is what I said to her. She's so sweet. Oh, she's so sweet. She was like she didn't know what to say. Nobody knew what. Oh, she just sat there. She just wanted to say something nice, but she didn't know. She wasn't expecting that, and neither was I. But anyway, she came up to me after the high jump, and she was like, hey, I just wanted to let you know. That was really cool. Like, that your attitude's, like, really good. She said something like that. And I was like, oh. And then I was like, okay, cool. Like, this is what I'm going to do for the rest of the meet. Like, reminder, like you promised. And then shot put came. Haven't thrown shot put that bad. I don't think ever. Was I throwing with my left foot, my left hand or left foot? I don't know. We'll never know. But same thing. Just, oh, 200 didn't go that bad, I will say. Yeah. But it wasn't that great either. So it was like, oh. And I really just had this attitude of like, everything's going to be okay. I'm enjoying this. This is cool. And then the next day I had a personal best day too. And I just was like, oh, no matter if I was doing good or doing bad, I was just like, oh, and I realized like afterwards, I was like, that was the first time I ever did a pentathlon or heptathlon without an anxiety attack.
Wow.
My whole career in college, all through college, all through my professional career, my first time I didn't have a full blown lose my vision, bawling under the stadium, panic attack. And all I decided to do was just like enjoy it.
Yeah.
And it was this humongous aha moment for me. So that was a really long,
That's good.
Extended way of saying that's how I figured out. That was like the first step of my actual mental training journey.
That's awesome. And yeah, I think it gives good kind of perspective on your journey too. And the mental health journey never ends. I've been on mine. It never ends because we always have something different or something new come up. And like for you, so you had that moment, finally, no anxiety with the meet. And then what is it? Not long after that or around the same time you injured your ankle, right?
I ended up a little bit later that year, I ended up making it to world championships for the first time. And it was huge for me. And I'll be, this is like me being like, you know how people are like, oh, I could have X, Y, Z, but I, blah, blah, blah. Like, okay, whatever. But right. I will say, I'm going to be just completely honest with myself. I have never been more prepared for a competition. Like, never been more like laser focused for a competition than I was for world championships, because the next year was the Olympics. And I was like, I'm so close to the Olympic standard. All I have to do is get the Olympic standard. And then next year, like, I'm going to the Olympics. Like, yeah. I can do that. I'm so close already. Like, I got this. So I, for, it was 8 weeks before the world championships, I had the most ridiculous regimen. It is absolutely not sustainable. Highly 10 out of 10, do not recommend. It's exhausting. But I wrote down every single minute of my day was accounted for. And all of it was very like, okay, we're getting a massage twice a week. We're getting, we're doing, I had a 5 hour recovery regime at night and I had a 2 hour morning routine. Man. And then I went to practice all day and then I went to sleep. That was my day. And like eating perfectly at the same time, every single day in between events, had the exact same meal. Things could not have gone better. And the day before I left for the competition, my coach and I were doing box jumping for long jump, and I landed and my ankle turned and just snapped. And I thought, because of how many times it snapped, and I was in full shock, like instantly, I knew my body was in shock. So I was like, okay, there's a chance my ankle's not attached to my foot right now. There's a chance my foot's not attached to my leg right now. If I can stand up, I'm still going to go. Stood up and I stood up fine. And I was like, okay, I sprained my ankle really bad. I'm fine. I can take this up. I can go. And it was, I think it was five or six days before the actual competition. And my ankle blew up like crazy. But I just like ice, hot, cold, like I got rid of that swelling. I ended up getting on the way to Doha, Qatar, I ended up getting a whole row to myself. And I just put my foot up in the air, and then every 15 minutes, my alarm would go off and I would like massage my leg and make sure that, and everything was literally like, we're doing this, we're doing this, we're doing this. And I ended up doing okay for somebody with, I found out later, I completely broke my foot, like my talus, like completely shattered it. And then I pulled, I snapped not just two of the ankle tendons, all four of them on each side.
Yeah.
We snapped them off. My osteopath she'd tell me, she's like, you have no ligaments.
I'd be like, you have no ligaments.
What do you mean? She's like, you have no ligaments.
Yeah.
My whole foot was just attached onto my Achilles. That was the only thing still happening. Everything else was just completely gone. And I still ended up, I think I took top 12. I went in 24th. I took top 12. And it was just like this really incredible experience. I didn't get obviously the score that I wanted, but it was like this like mental fortitude, like I can do this. And then I got shatteredly humbled by not making the team in 2021. And then I had to go back to work because like you said, the mental journey never ever ends. And it never ends, no matter how like good you get at it, no matter how you work. And it's actually a good thing. When things end, kind of like life would get boring if all of a sudden we were just perfectly mentally tough all the time. But that's what we want to do because the lows are low. So when the highs are high, we're like, yeah, let's stay here. But after a while, that would get really boring. We need the dips so that we can appreciate the highs.
Yeah, no, I think that's very well said. And I think it was around that time, and I can't remember now exactly when I found you and started following your journey and saw the injury and everything. I think just from, again, my past athletic trainer, oh my goodness. Like, cause that takes a lot to do that to an ankle, and then your surgery and coming back from that. Was there a different, you know, mental game that you had to play after surgery and getting back physically?
So interestingly, I will be like fully honest. I didn't have any sort of mental game going out of surgery. I think I had this like just trust that I was going to make the team. Like I was like, I know I can do it. I know I can do it. And I'll be honest, like there was not a day, not one day until April, probably May actually, because I was going to say April 30th, but it was more like May 5th, where I didn't have pain at practice. And I'm talking like, my coach would be like, why are you doing that? And I'm like, it's a limp. It's called a limp. Why do we limp, coach? You know what I mean? Like, she'd be like, you're not like doing it. And I'm like, yeah, because I'm limping. And so it was a really hard year. And it was mentally like really sad for me because you like look back and you're like, oh, I probably cried 5 or 6 days a week minimum. So on the way home, sobbing. Just agreed and ended up not making the team, which just made all that crying just so much better, doesn't it? It put me pretty bit down. But I will say that is how I came up with 30 Days with Shari in general. Yeah. And so was it all worth it? Would I have? I don't know. I go back and forth, but did we get some good stuff out of it for sure?
Yeah, no, I think it's like when people say, do you have any regrets in your past? I'm like, yeah, I mean, there are a lot of regrets. Now, would I change things? Because it's gotten me where we are. But yeah, I think that's really good. So yeah, 30 Days with Shar, what is all that about for those listening?
Yeah, so basically after not making the team, I was just done. I think the whole year was just so exhausting mentally. And I was just, there were so many emotions involved. And I realized that I was like, man, this was not worth it. I remember my husband was just like, was it at least like fun? And I was like, no, that was the least fun I've ever had in my entire life. And it was so poor me back then. I was so sad. But after I had my grieving period, and I think it's absolutely okay that we all have our grieving periods when we're going through something mentally, let yourself feel it. Let yourself be sad. It's okay. And then say to yourself, it's okay that I'm sad.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Don't like, I think it's hard when it's like that thing where you wallow in your sadness versus I'm okay with being sad, but I'm not convinced that I'm a sad person. You know what I mean? Like I'm okay with the fact that temporarily right now in this moment, I am sad. I'm going to allow myself to be sad, but I am not going to allow myself to be a sad person. Okay. Yeah.
Cool. You're just in a season. We're in fall right now. You're in a season where you have the sad emotion going on. And
yeah, exactly. And I think I was wallowing a bit, we'll say, like I wallowed. And finally, after my little grieving period of wallowing, I finally had this like, aha, okay, what can you do? And so I just started getting out and going on walks, like going on a walk. Maybe I would go on a little run. Okay, cool. Now let me try to listen to an audiobook that makes me feel good or a podcast that makes me feel good and try to get myself back into a space where I could actually be happy again.
Yeah.
And I really remember being like, what is something that's going to make me happy? And I remember being like, taking back control over my mental space right now is going to make me really happy. So I just started writing down like every tool, because I have worked with sports psychologists before. I've worked with so many coaches. I've worked with so many sports psychologists. I've worked with myself, had so many experiences. And I just like writing down all the things that like make me stronger or have gotten me through things and like writing them down. And then again, my bachelor's and master's is in, that's quite a thing to collide, huh? Those two bachelor's and master's degrees are in education. And so I put it together in a curriculum and now it is what it is, which is 30 Days with Shari. And it's basically all of the mentor training tools that not only did I use throughout my whole career, but I definitely used through getting through that crazy moment of not making the team in 2021 to in 2022 becoming the American champion. And it was my first win as a professional athlete, like on, especially like on American soil and as like a new professional athlete, no gold medals to this last season in 2022, I won 3 gold medals. So it was it was like this program that like is now 30 days. It's the thing that has taught me how to win and to elevate my mindset and my sport. And hey, like there were a lot of things that happened in outdoor. I didn't make the outdoor team and we all thought I was going to make it, including like USATF. They called me the day I didn't make it. And they were like, I can't believe that happened. That was shocking. You're not on the team. So sorry. And it was so crazy because I was like, holy moly, what just happened to me? And And but then it turned around and I got a call from World Athletics the next day and they were like, hey, do you want to host the championships? And I was like, okay. And I remember right before they called, I was like, for some reason, this is just such a freak thing. I know this is happening for a reason. Mm. And then I was able to do that and it was great. Don't get me wrong. Like, I'm 100% going for world championships this year. It's happening. Like, we're on the mission for it. But it's just so interesting to see how things can come to fruition, like good and bad, and how things can happen for you instead of to you and all that kind of stuff. But this program, basically, it's 30 days. You get 30 different lessons throughout the day. But within those lessons, because every day has like its own theme of a lesson. Mm. Let's take day one is self-accountability, because I think it's a great place to start with 30 days with Shari, taking accountability for yourself. So we start with the podcast. Podcasts are super digestible. They're like 7 minutes, right around that. And I teach you all about why self-accountability is important and how you can actually make self-accountability happen for you. Because I think that the way, like, it's one thing to change a mindset, but to know exactly how to start, there's a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 step plan that you can put in place every single day, so that if you want to make a new goal, okay, I'm going to follow the plan to actually make it happen, which I think is really important there to have action steps with it. So after the podcast, I give you a challenge so that you can practice it for yourself. And then after the challenge is complete, we do a daily burn, which is just a super quick workout where I talk about all about, like, day one, we talk all about self-accountability and, hey, I know you want to stop. I get it. Your hip flexors are burning right now, but I need you to go back to self-accountability and you're going to hold yourself accountable and you're going to finish this. All of the workouts are very doable. They're not like, wow, you might need to be a professional athlete. Anybody can do them, but it's a great way to connect our mind and body and just get ourselves moving a little bit. Because sometimes when we want to get activated and we want to, like, start going after our goal and we're getting a little bit, like, down ourselves, moving our body sometimes can be like a huge, huge builder of that. And then that happens for 30 days and it's based, curriculum based, so that we learn pretty much, like, me being a teacher, we learn that 1 + 1 = 2 before we can learn that 2 × 2 = 4 kind of a thing. So I teach you all kinds of things, like how to correctly visualize, how to do positive self-talk correctly, because it's not just looking in the mirror and telling yourself you're awesome. Yeah. There's actually some step processes all the way to how to get in the zone for your athletes who want to be able to compete at their best ability. There's an actual way that you can do it. So I teach you how.
That's awesome.
There's a lot of really fun stuff with it. I'm really proud of it and I'm excited for it to get really off the ground.
For sure. No, that's awesome. And it's, so I almost double majored in psychology with the sports psychology focus. Cause there's so much. I just was too far along in my bachelor's to do it with the time that I wanted to get done. And, but it's so true. Like, you can, there's so many things you can do to get your mind, visualizations, like everything. It's not just the cool running. If you've seen it, the scene of him speaking in the mirror about himself positively. If you haven't seen Cool Runnings.
No, I have.
That's a good movie. But no, that's awesome. And I would love to just kind of wind down the episode just with some a little bit lighter stuff. I'll just find out more about you. What are some things that you go to as like a pick-me-up? Well, some people, it's a bowl of ice cream. What does Shari do to get a little pick-me-up?
Honestly, I really love dancing. Okay. Weirdly, like sometimes, like when I just feel like it, I'll put on like some Taylor Swift and I'll just dance around my house. I also, my undergrad is in education. Mm-hmm. It's in culinary arts education. So I absolutely love cooking. And so, yeah, just like finding more creative outlets. Like that's a really big one for me, because a lot of my track and field stuff, it's very like masculine energy, get things done. And I really love being able to tap into that feminine energy as well, because I think having that ebb and flow, whether you're male or female, being able to tap into both of those, that's how you're going to really capitalize on yourself as a human being.
For sure. Do you have a recipe you could make just off the top of your head that's like a go-to that you're really good at?
Yeah, pretty much anything now. I have all my recipes pretty much memorized. I will say that one of my favorites is like a coconut curry. It's really good. and it's just, it's only like 5 ingredients. So it's like really, nice. I wouldn't say it's very like an interpretation of coconut curry, because it has to be like a little bit like the healthier version, which is, oh man, you know what I mean? Like I go to like really authentic Indian restaurants and I taste their coconut curry and I'm like, yeah, this is 100 times better than mine. But the one that I make is also really delicious. I really enjoy it.
That's awesome. That's really cool. Yeah. We did HelloFresh for a while, the meal prep or meal subscription, just because we wanted to try different recipes, because we're not, that's just not us. And it opened our eyes a lot of cool different culture foods that come from that. So that was neat. But so yeah, what's in the future for you, Sharia? You looking at Olympics still? You what's your plan going forward with track and field and then just life in general? I know you got married a couple years ago, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, honestly, I ask myself 3 questions at the end of every season. It's always, am I still getting better? Honestly, I think if I genuinely feel like I reached my fullest potential, you did it, Shari, like that, you did so well and you genuinely reached your potential and this is where it is, I would be more than happy to hang up my spikes on that, because there's so many amazing things to do in this world that I want to get done and the people I want to reach and things I want to accomplish, that track takes up so much space in my life that I would love to like branch out, but I can't hang it up until I feel like I reached my fullest potential. So that's question number 1. Do you feel like you can still get better? The second one is this still genuinely enjoyable? And I almost looked into not doing track again last year because of how not fun that year was.
Yeah.
I had to really take my time before asking those 3 questions, because had I asked them right at the end of the season, I'd be like, nope, done. We're like, really think that was through. And then the third one is, does this still make sense for me? Because my entire family is in Utah and Idaho, and I'm here in San Diego. My husband's here in San Diego. All of his like friends and family are back there too. Like, it is quite the advice, but it's one, like I've said before, is it's a mountain you have to climb, and I'm willing to climb the mountain, and he's willing to climb the mountain beside me. So it's really helpful. But like, at some point we are going to potentially want to start a family, and like those kinds of things are definitely going to get in the way of track and field. It turns out you have to use your body a little bit.
Yeah, just a little.
So it's just up to the end of the season. I've told like a lot of people want me to like, hey, I'm definitely going through the Olympics. But just because I know how you can make a world championship one year and not make an Olympic team the next year, like it's nothing is ever guaranteed. I think that if somebody said that, oh my goodness, like, you're going to win world championships this year and have a full blown punch ticket to the Olympics next year already, I think I'd be like, okay, I'll do it again. But because those tickets are never like punched the year before, like you can never really count. You never know if you're going to get injured. And it's such a sacrifice. I want to always make sure that it makes sense for my life. Does this sacrifice make absolute sense at the moment? So I'll always ask myself those 3 questions. This year, I asked myself those 3 questions. Last year, I had an absolute blast. I don't even think I scratched the surface of my potential with it. Was just so crazy how things would just like line up. So you're getting decent scores, but you're like, there's so much more. So I have so much more left. And right now, this is absolutely what makes sense for us. We're doing it for another year, and then we're going to see how next year goes. And we're going to ask ourselves those same questions.
That's awesome. And those are good questions to ask in anything, really. The same framework question. So I think those are really good to think about. And one thing I did forget to ask, what is your favorite event out of all the ones you do?
That's a good question. I think it used to be like super different. I want to say high jump's my favorite, mostly because I figured out how to manipulate the flow state within high jump now. And that's really, really fun. Hurdles is right up there with that, and shot put's not far behind. So those first 3 events are the events where I really feel like I can come alive. And then the other ones are this year, actually, indoor world championships got canceled this year, unfortunately. And so it was so funny, because I was like, oh my goodness, now I have to learn how to throw the javelin and I have to learn how to run fast in the 200. And so it was just like a really funny, because like, of course, those are always the goals anyways. And So like those are probably the two that I'm looking forward to getting better at.
Yeah.
I always feel I'm right there. I feel like every year I'm always like, oh, I'm right there. So it's, maybe what I need to do is I need to switch my mindset, because I'm always saying you can't assume something's just magically going to happen. Like you have to do the work to make it happen. And so maybe I need to go back to the drawing board for those two and start looking at what needs to change. Yeah. Oh, I'm going to do that.
There you go.
You're going to see, watch me just like PR in like crazy. And you'll be like, oh, you're welcome.
Brought to you by Elevate Media. No, just kidding.
Yes, exactly.
No. That's awesome. Shari, I appreciate you again being on and sharing all about your journey and how you overcame all the obstacles that you've been through in the last handful of years. And it was a really good episode. Fun talking with you. If people want to connect you, where's the best place they can connect with you at?
Yeah. So I'm on Instagram and TikTok. I'm on YouTube and Twitter as well, and LinkedIn. But
everywhere.
Instagram and TikTok are probably the two that people like following me on the most. And that both of those are going to be _ Shari Hawkins, CHARIHAWKINS. And then also, if you do want to check out the mental training program that I use myself, it's a Shari Track and Field. Oh, wait, no, it's not Shari Track and Field. It's sharihawkins.com.
Awesome. Yeah. So everyone make sure you get connected with Shari. Just again, she puts out some really amazing content just about track and field, motivation, mindset, everything. And it's worth tuning into what she's doing. So again, Shari, thanks so much for being on Elevate Your Brand today.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me.
And thanks so much for tuning into this episode today. If you found value at all from this episode, please leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. It just helps us get this show, these messages out in front of more people. And don't forget to share this with someone who you think could benefit from listening to as well.